Well, the war with Iran is back on. The bombings have resumed. Let me update you on that situation. I believe it started when the U.S. was trying to guide some tankers and ships through the southern portion of the Strait of Hormuz. This was like 2 days ago, I believe, roughly. And that's the shoreline closer to Oman, which Iran doesn't want ships to use. So Iran is asserting control over the traffic through the Strait of Hormuz and has granted safe passage to ships through the northern channel, which is closer to the Iranian border. You know, it's Iran's territorial waters there, all the way out to, I think, 11 nautical miles from shore. But the U.S. Didn't want ships to take that route because the U.S. wants to sneak a bunch of ships through the strait without paying, you know, any kind of fees to Iran. So as these tankers, it was anywhere from 3 to 5, is my understanding, as they were trying to sail through the southern portion of the strait, the IRGC warned them and said, you know, turn around and stop, and they didn't. And so they were struck by drones, they were hit, some of them were set on fire partially. I don't think any of them were totally sunk, but they were kinetically attacked. And then the United States said, well, we can't stand for that. And so the U.S. has bombed Iran, hitting, apparently, according to CENTCOM, striking 80 targets in a response to, quote, Iran's latest attacks on commercial vessels transiting the Strait of Hormuz. So CENTCOM says U.S. forces struck Iranian air defense systems and coastal radar sites, anti-ship missile capabilities, and small boats. I thought Trump said we already destroyed their entire navy. So where did the small boats come from? Let's see. Anyway, CENTCOM says that they bombed the snot out of these targets in southern Iran. So then Iran has now begun retaliatory strikes against the U.S. and has fired anti-ship cruise missiles and drones at U.S. Navy warships. I don't know if any of those have struck Navy warships, too early to know, but those warships apparently are in the Sea of Oman, so probably some distance from the strait, actually, you know, to the south there. And Iran is saying, you know, look, we're going to assert control over the Strait of Hormuz. Professor Robert Pape, who I interviewed, University of Chicago, says, quote, Trump is playing with nationalist fire by striking civilian targets in Iran, with millions demanding revenge at the Supreme Leader's funeral. Yeah, don't forget, this right now, the funeral of the Ayatollah Khamenei is ongoing. It's the apparently it's the largest funeral in the world ever, as far as I can tell. I'm not aware of any funeral that's ever been larger in terms of the attendance. But Professor Pape goes on and says, quote, Trump just handed the regime a clear trigger for major retaliation. The entire world economy is now at risk. Yeah. Marjorie Taylor Greene says we are back to bombing Iran during the ceasefire for the Iran war that is not a war, because Iran bombed a vessel for crossing the Strait of Hormuz that they don't control, yet they apparently do control. Not sure how they bombed the vessel, because we have totally and completely obliterated their military and beat them in the war that is not a war like 40 times now. She's being obviously sarcastic, mocking Trump. She says, I'm so glad that Trump ran for president to end forever foreign wars. Otherwise, I might start thinking this war that is not a war that we won like 40 times is starting to turn into another forever foreign war in the Middle East. She's correct about that. Good thing, she says, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of the Department of Defense, I mean war, is headed to Israel to take orders from, I mean ask for advice on how to totally wipe out Iran, I mean bring peace. I'm totally sure no one in the executive branch or donors will do any sort of insider trading based on super duper secret military decisions. You know, the kind based on intelligence that Congress is going to fuse with Israel's military after they all vote to pass the National Defense Authorization Act, because this is exactly what we all voted for when we said make America great again. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So good post from MTG there. She's mocking Trump and Hegseth, who always deserve to be mocked brutally. Oh, and I'm seeing this post. I just have to read it for you. It's from a Kentucky Statesman on X. Unrelated, but hilarious. The fact that the GOP establishment ran a PSYOP where multiple people claimed to have talked to Mitch McConnell on the phone this morning, the day after people started demanding proof of life, only proves that he's dead. You gotta put a little English on the ball when you say he's dead. Probably he's dead. We're gonna miss the turtle. So I want to bring your attention to the fact that, of course, oil is spiking again, and of course, the oil supply shock that I've been warning about, that Dr. Chris Martinson has been warning about, and so many of us, Michael Yon and others, that is about to kick in a very harsh manner. We are talking motor oil shortages in the United States are about to become reality in, looks like, less than 1 month. And then the diesel shortages, and I'm not saying that we're going to run out of diesel, but we will have scarcity and prices are going to go through the roof for both gasoline and diesel. And, of course, you know, jet fuel on top of that. If you thought airfare was crazy right now, wait until September. It's going to get even crazier. All because, of course, Trump is taking orders from Netanyahu to continue the war to cause global chaos, as also NATO continues to hammer Russia, not only attacking more Russian refineries, but the other thing that just happened is that part of Russia's oil tanker fleet, or I should say tankers that are moving Russian oil, apparently 7 or 8 of them just got hit and some completely blown up in the last day or so by Ukrainian drone attacks. So Ukraine is finding a lot of targets with the European-provided drones, even though Russia is hammering Ukraine very aggressively with Iskanders and Kinzhals and ballistic missiles on top of the hypersonic missiles. And so that situation is escalating. But the point is that oil is in the crosshairs in both of these conflicts, or oil refining, oil, you know, production, oil output, or let me say it correctly, the refined product output is suffering both out of Russia and also out of course, the Middle East. This is happening at the same time. And it's clear that this is engineered. On top of the fertilizer shortages and the helium shortages and the sulfuric acid and all these other things that we've talked about, it's clear this is engineered and it's designed to create a global energy crisis. And it's only a matter of time now before the buffer runs out. The Strategic Petroleum Reserve in the United States is at the lowest level that it has been since the 1980s, I believe, when they were filling it. You know, the only reason it was low then was because they hadn't filled it all yet. And these are, some of these are salt caves, you know, and it's unclear how sludgy and salty they are in terms of what has mixed with the oil exactly that's been sitting in those salt caves. You know, the lower levels of oil in there, the high density sludgy stuff at the bottom, probably not usable in your fuel tank. I'm just guessing. Maybe they could use it in New York City to shore up, you know, collapsing buildings and such. I don't know. Might have some use. But what it means for you and I is that energy costs, anything related to hydrocarbons, it's going to get crazy expensive. I still see oil at $200 a barrel this year, despite all the efforts in the paper markets to try to artificially suppress the price and keep it low. You know, remember what I've said in the game of rock, paper, scissors, oil, that oil beats paper. Like what? Paper beats scissors. Wait, is that right? Paper covers rock. Rock smashes scissors. Oil wets the paper, or oil saturates the paper. So rock, paper, scissors, oil beats paper, just in case you're wondering the rules of that game. So they're not going to be able to keep the paper markets going or hiding the real price of actual hydrocarbons forever. And I think that effort begins to really falter starting in about 1 to 1.5 months, and certainly accelerating through September, October, and right into Election Day, which is going to be catastrophic for the GOP. catastrophic. Oh, and I forgot to mention that the United States has revoked the so-called license that they say allowed Iran to sell its oil through roughly the end of August. That was a sanctions waiver because Iranian oil has been sanctioned, you know, for decades. So that has been revoked. So basically the MOU is dead at this point, just as I predicted, told you that we would not have peace. And I know all these, you know, the Trump MAGA-tards are out there claiming, oh, we have peace. Trump is the greatest. It's a golden age. Yeah, good luck with that. You know, after Trump fools you 42 times, you might want to rethink your gullibility, right? It's like, look in the mirror, wake up and smell the coffee. You've been lied to yet again and again and again, 42 times. So no, we're not going to have peace. The MOU is dead. And what that means is that Iran's oil won't be now contributing to the oil supply of Western nations because the sanctions are back on. And that means we're going to have more of a supply shock shortage of this global commodity. And yes, it will impact the United States. Prices will go up, supply will go down, and many countries are going to move into an emergency posture on this, just as Japan is facing a critical crisis with its, you know, 10-year treasury bonds that I covered yesterday. And that's going to spill over into the U.S. treasury debt market. And it's going to be catastrophic for the West one way or another, especially if Japan starts selling off U.S. treasuries, which it may have to do to buy oil at the higher prices, you know, or to buy gas to keep the Japanese economy running. It's going to have to sell something. And the most obvious asset is U.S. treasuries. So there you go. Note that in all of this, I said, and I've heard Scott Ritter say this and others, we have said that the U.S. is agreement incapable. In other words, the American empire is incapable of honoring any agreement that it makes with any nation on anything. This has been proven again and again and again involving, you know, Russia and Europe and also Iran multiple times. I mean, normally we say, hey, let's negotiate. And then the U.S. bombs and kills the negotiators as they're traveling to the negotiation location. That's the kind of, you know, goodwill that the American empire expresses on a regular basis. The U.S. is frankly just incapable of honoring any agreement whatsoever. And so now, what I predict is going to happen next is that we will see the closure of the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, which, of course, is the choke point on the way to the Red Sea and the Suez Canal, which will, like, okay, let me put it this way. If the closure of the Strait of Hormuz is a stranglehold on the world's energy supply, then closing the Suez Canal effectively on top of that is like, I don't know, clamping down on the jugular with a 1,000-ton press or something. It's like smashing any possibility of the circulation in the body. This is going to be catastrophic for the world if Bab el-Mandeb is closed off, and that appears to be the next escalation that we are likely to see again. Also, in Bahrain, some ballistic missiles from Iran have apparently been arriving and hitting, I guess, U.S. military bases there, which I thought were already destroyed. But maybe there's been some rebuilding and some of those things are being destroyed. I don't know. It's kind of early. I guess we'll know more over the next day or two. But the bottom line is this is escalating now. Energy is going to become more scarce. The U.S. economy is going to crater even more rapidly because of this. And probably this is going to head to a U.S. invasion of Iran, which will be absolutely catastrophic for the Trump regime. And it may spell the end of Trump's political career and have him go down in history in shame as the worst president ever that made the worst military mistake of all time. That's quite easily how this could end up. And he's just fallen for it every step of the way, falling for it to do the bidding of Netanyahu. Unbelievable. The IRGC, meanwhile, says that the The U.S. will not, under any circumstances, be allowed to interfere in the Strait of Hormuz. And I believe Iran is sincere in that, whereas you can't believe anything the U.S. says. You can actually count on these kinds of statements out of Iran, because this is their ace card. You know, they are holding all the cards just in terms of geography because of their position over the Strait of Hormuz. That is their ticket to, you know, sitting at the big boys table in the new multipolar world. They're not going to give that up, not under any circumstances. And so, you know, you hear Marco Rubio in sheer delusion talking about, oh, we're never going to let them control the Strait of Hormuz or charge a toll or anything like that. Dude, you're delusional. If you think that Iran is going to just give up total control over the Strait of Hormuz after all of this, you're absolutely delusional. Iran is going to hold out until the West cannot handle the pain of the energy strangulation. And that day is coming. It's not that far away. You know, you think about the loss of oil, the loss of gas, the loss of helium, all these other things, even polyethylene and so on, and fertilizer. This is going to start hitting home in a very painful way for the West, not just the United States, but, you know, Canada and Western European countries and Australia, etc., as the economic consequences of that become more and more severe. It will become politically impossible for politicians like Trump to continue to endure this. And eventually, the United States of America will be forced to accept Iran's control over the Strait of Hormuz, period. Geography says so. And God gave that geography to Iran, which means that God handed Iran that gift of control over, you know, over the world's energy flows. And Trump is finding out that you can't bomb God into compliance. You know, you can bomb Iran, but you can't bomb away the Strait of Hormuz that was created by God. You see what I mean? Like, fighting against the Strait of Hormuz is like going to war against God. It's just not going to work. That's what Trump is finding out. Even if you have Satan on your side, which he does with, you know, Bibi Netanyahu, even Satan can't bomb away the Strait of Hormuz, it turns out. So what I'm trying to point out here is that we are now about to be hit with multiple shocks, not only the Bank of Japan situation, possibly the selling off of U.S. treasuries, but also an energy supply shock that has now clearly been made worse, far worse, and, you know, with no solution anywhere in sight. At the same time that we're facing fertilizer shortages for the fall planting season in the Northern Hemisphere, that's going to lead to increased famine in 2027, as I've been warning about for months. Supply chains will crater, fuel costs will skyrocket in the months ahead, which will raise prices on food and groceries, making many items unaffordable for typical Americans. And there's going to be a mass uprising this year, I predict, probably, just because living in America will be made increasingly unaffordable by this ongoing war that Trump just feels compelled to pursue for whatever reasons. You know, frankly, I think Trump is a Trojan horse at this point, who is deliberately seeking to dismantle the Constitutional Republic of the United States and mass poison the people with glyphosate and pesticides, and to impoverish the American people to the point where they cannot even afford to eat. The rich get richer, but the middle class get absolutely devastated, and the poor are just totally abandoned under this current system of Trump governance. So the backlash is coming, the political backlash. It's going to be severe. And it will be obvious by November how severe it will be. But I got to tell you, it's not going to be pretty living in this country under the backlash, iron fist rule of Democrats, who will be looking for vengeance in every way possible against every conservative and every Christian and every former Trump supporter, you know. But then again, hey, when they criminally prosecute the Trump family for all the insider trading and all the crypto rug pulls. I'm not defending Trump. I am not defending Trump. In fact, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to cheer any investigations and prosecutions of this corrupt administration, regardless of which party is sponsoring those. I'm not a fan, obviously, of the Democrats, but I am a fan of, you know, eliminating corruption. And probably what we need in this country is an anti-corruption party. If, you know, I guess if there's any hope at all, I'm not sure that any party can save what's left of this, you know, cancerous collapsing empire. But if there were a party that could do something, it would have to be an anti-corruption party that wasn't on the left or the right. Will that happen? I have no idea. We'll just have to wait and see. But anyway, that's where we are today. Early July here, 2026. So thank you for listening. You can follow more of my work, of course, at brightvideos.com and naturalnews.com. And I urge you, you know, I'm doing a lot of work about EVs now and solar systems and charging EVs with solar. And I will probably have an EV before the end of this year. I'm done buying combustion engine vehicles for lots of reasons, this being one of them, the supply chain shock of hydrocarbons. I'm done. So this is going to sell, this war is going to sell more Teslas and other EVs than any other single event in history. Trump is going to be the EV salesman of the year by far. And smart people are doing exactly what I'm talking about here, setting up solar panels and some solar generators or power stations. You know, our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, they have power stations as well. You can check theirs out. They sell packages with the solar panels too. SAT123.com. And you can charge those power stations and you can use them to charge vehicles. And by the way, if you have any trouble with that, a lot of EVs, they check whether the power station is grounded before they will charge. And there's actually a $10 device you can buy on Amazon that plugs into any of the outlets on a power station that binds the neutral with the ground. And then that allows those power stations to charge EVs. So if you've had trouble charging an EV from a power station, then that's one way to do it. Just understand there may be a safety issue there if there's a lot of static electricity in the air. So do that at your own risk. But that's what I'm putting in place to show you the charging in my studio. I'm going to be doing a video about charging a Tesla Model Y. And I have that device plugged in. And I'm going to be using that because I don't consider it to be a risk, but it's probably not, you know, the recommended way to set those things up. Probably grounding is best, but I don't know. Talk to your local electrician about that. In the meantime, it is true. You can get fuel from the sky for free from sunlight, and you can use it to fuel up your vehicle. And so you can bypass the Strait of Hormuz. You don't need hydrocarbons any longer. The battery technology is very good now. Solar panels are very affordable. Storage batteries, you know, very good, very affordable, relatively speaking. So just in time, because hydrocarbons are going to be less and less reliable and more expensive from here forward, it's rather obvious. All right, so thanks for listening. Mike Adams here. Again, brightvideos.com is where you can find more of my videos and interviews, as well as naturalnews.com. for articles and infographics. Thank you for listening. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.